Welcome to the Amateur MILF Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Sinead and Rosie, and we are just trying. Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average, non-famous mums who live average, non-famous lives. Although if we get famous, we're not complaining. And maybe, just maybe, we can actually record this podcast more than twice a year.
Maybe we could have a podcast.
Yeah, maybe we could.
If we get famous, maybe we could record a podcast.
More consistently than we have been doing.
Hi, Sinead.
Hi, Rosie.
How are you?
I'm just getting by.
You're just getting by. What's happening? Why am I speaking into this furry box? I don't understand.
Because, Rosie, we are recording this podcast for the first time in about 6 months.
Yeah, it's been a minute, hasn't it?
Really has. And we don't really have a reason.
We don't have an excuse.
No, we don't.
We don't have any excuse. There's no actual... Nothing's been happening. It's not like we've...
There's been a massive crisis.
Big crisis or like big reveal. Like, oh, we've decided we're going to do this and we're going to drop like a whole new structure and idea. We've got a brand new idea that we're going to run through. We've got new branding. None of that.
No.
We just haven't recorded.
No. And like we could blame it on our kids and we will blame it on our kids.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We don't have an actual reason why we've not been recording this podcast.
We don't have a legitimate reason. And I would say that for anyone who consistently listens to us or knows us and listens to us would say that that's quite on brand.
Yeah, I don't think it could come as a surprise to anyone.
To be like, oh, you went quiet for a while there, guys. Why?
Disassociating.
Disassociating. Don't have a real reason. We've been quite busy.
Yeah.
We've continued to be quite busy.
Plagued with illness.
There's been illnesses. We've had Christmas. We've both been working real hard. What else has happened? I mean, nothing significant has happened. It's not like either of us have had another child.
No.
None of us have been in hospital.
No.
Our children are fine. I'm trying to just go through my memory, which is terrible.
No one's house has been set on fire.
No, there's been no arson. There's been no crime, actually.
Zero crime.
Has there been any crime? Have you witnessed any crime?
Well, I've witnessed plenty of crime.
You've witnessed plenty of crime, but like not
just
in your
vicinity.
Just
look at what the government is doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, apart from all of that crime, have you witnessed any crime near your house?
No.
I don't know why I've decided to turn this into like
an interrogation.
Neighbourhood watch. Have you witnessed any crime in your area? Would you like to let us know about it? I did see a couple of days ago, there were two police cars on my parents' road because I walk past their road to get to the school. So there were two police cars on their road. And so I immediately texted the family group chat and said, there's two cop cars on your road. Mum, have you been dealing crack again? Oh, dear. I'm very funny, aren't I?
You are very funny.
Why haven't we been recording our funniness?
Oh, I don't know, Rosie. Because I have missed it, you know. It does feel a bit like therapy.
It does feel like therapy. We have, and it's not like we've not done this. We've done a lot of it without the microphones, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've done a lot of yapping with each other. We've just not done it. Maybe the reason is because actually we've been more social and we've done our therapy sessions in kind of public spaces like bars and
yeah.
pubs.
I feel like maybe we've been wasting content opportunities.
We've absolutely been wasting content opportunities because our kids have done like some really stupid shit. I've been in some absolute states and I mean, I wish I'd just filmed some of the states that I've been in.
Yeah. This feels even more like therapy than usual because I am currently in a reclined position.
Yeah. Also like the headboard of your bed very much mimics a therapist's chaise longue, doesn't it?
And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel quite tired. it makes me feel very tired. How do you feel at the minute?
I think tired sums it up.
It's the beginning of February, so we feel like we have got over a mountain.
Yeah, January felt like it lasted 84 years.
It did last 84 years. And then Christmas was hard work. All of us were quite ill for a lot of the time. Christmas in general is okay. Santa delivered the goods. We drank lots.
From like the 1st of December until New Year's Eve.
Until New Year's Day.
I was just like hammered the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, that's how Christmas should be, and that's great. I love that for you. We had a good Christmas, didn't we? Christmas was fine. New Year's Eve. What did we do New Year's Eve? We came to your house. Had a party at your house. Ate loads of great snacks.
Loads of great snacks.
Good spread. Very good spread. Yeah. So, in conclusion, no excuse for not being here, but now we are here.
Thanks for waiting for us, guys.
So we're going to do a bit of like a recap, aren't we, about who we are, in case no one's listened before, and where we're at the minute. So before we do that, we should start with one of our format points.
Yeah.
Should we?
I think so.
Should we start with our format? We do have... Guys, we've got format points. They might not be very big or very strong, but they are format points.
And I feel like it's our duty to fulfil the format points.
Yeah, even if just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for like 30 seconds. First format point is your week in a sentence. Sinead, what's your week in a sentence?
My week in a sentence is, why are all the planes crashing?
Are there lots of planes crashing?
Yeah, I mean, I watch the news most days, right? And for many, many moons, I've heard nary a whisper of any kind of incident with an aircraft. And now I feel like at least a million planes have crashed.
At least a million.
Since Christmas.
I love that, like, we've not done this for a really long time. And this is going to be our recap episode where we just sort of like, you know, shoot the shit. Just sort of talk about who we are. And you've gone straight in at first format point with world conspiracy.
I just was thinking about
Let's
it the
unravel
other day.
That whilst you're on your therapist chair, shall we, Sinead?
Like, well, I was like, why is it that every single time I put on BBC News, they're like, and today we are learning that a plane crash. I'm
yet
like,
again.
A fucking another one.
Sixth one today.
What's going on with all the planes? Have they all missed their MOT?
I think, yeah, I immediately thought essentially the same thing. I think all of them, I imagine that when planes were invented, let's pretend I know a bit more about aviation. When Boeing started.
I've heard that Boeing are the big bad baddie.
They're right. So, but surely Boeing come along and they go, look at these amazing planes. And everyone goes, great, let's all go on holiday in these guys. And they go, sure, this seems reasonable. So they make a shit ton of Boeings, right? Mm-hmm. Now it's 2025. Maybe the Boeings are all like ready for scrap.
I feel like,
do you know what I mean?
Every single plane I've ever been on has been a Boeing.
I mean, I find it absolutely wild that every time I get on a plane, I still have to sit in front of a sign that says no smoking. And I just think, like, how old is this plane?
Like, we've not been allowed to smoke on planes for at least 30 years.
That's a standard for kind of the whole world. And we all know that. So these planes must be so, so old. Like, they would have been flying them in the
70s. No wonder they're all crashing.
No wonder. They're like...
But I've been thinking about it, like, a lot recently. Because... I'm not joking. I feel like every time I listen to the news, they're like, the plane has crashed. A plane fucking crashed into a helicopter the other day. The sat-navs must be broke too.
How did that happen? Where was that?
In America.
Oh my God. I didn't know about the planes. Thanks for bringing it up, mate, because I had no idea.
It has been plaguing every waking moment.
And now it can haunt my dreams. Thanks. Thanks so much for letting me know. I listen to the news on the radio. But most of the time when the radio is on, it's when I'm getting the kids ready for school. So I suspect what's happened to me is that at the very moments, and I would say as a law of averages, this is sort of a 90% pass rate. When they're talking about the planes that are crashing, it's probably the same moment when Lola's screaming in my face and I'm telling Ramona's put her shoes on for the 700th time. So I think it's just passed me by because the school run is such a... delicate
the school
procedure.
Run is actually worse than a plane
the
crash.
School run, I honestly, I think
I would rather be in a plane crash.
No, I wouldn't rather. No, listen, I wouldn't let. I'm not. Come on, for our first podcast back, let's not agree that I would rather be in a plane crash because I don't want to die. However, I would rather be on the team that does the plane crash investigating.
That would be a cool job. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd rather do that than a school run.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather pick through the debris of a crashed Boeing that had plus 200 passengers on it. I'd rather go through that than what my current school runs look like.
I mean, some days, you know, when you get a really bad school run.
Oh, yeah. That we're talking every day at the minute. Yes. Yes, I do.
Genuinely sometimes think like I would rather be undergoing CIA torture in Guantanamo Bay than be doing this right
I
now.
Think more, do you know what, this isn't spoke about enough actually, Sinead. I think more mums of children, small children, should be drafted into MI5.
Yeah,
because we can take anything.
Hostage negotiation,
like let's just case in point, and both of us have had this conversation with tattooists before. We go to get tattoos as a rest day.
Yeah.
I'm at one, I'm at peace. It's a very mindful experience to have a needle stabbing my skin and forcing ink into it.
For multiple hours.
For multiple hours at a time. When I went to get my last set of tattoos, I got 4 tattoos, and all the guys in there were like, wow, you're super brave, man. Like, God, 4 in a row, that's tough. Whoa. And I was like, guys, this is my day off. I've enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah,
thank
I mean, sometimes the mental torture. So it is a Sunday today. And Sunday is the only day that I get to have a lie-in. And I'm grateful because it's more of a lie-in than a lot of people get when they have kids.
Yes.
Because I get consistently till about 9 o'clock
on a Sunday. You're a prick.
But the catch there is that as soon as I open my eyes, Darcy is sat next to me in my bed. She opens her mouth, starts yapping, and
does not stop
until bedtime.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Stream of consciousness all day long.
Yeah, I would say I have a very rich internal monologue.
Yeah.
So does Darcy, but hers is not fucking internal.
That's the key there, isn't it? It's not internal. We're going through this with Lola at the minute, actually.
Every single thought has to come out of her mouth. And I realise that maybe I'm the problem because I have, like, I do quite often, like, narrate my life to myself. And I am...
Talk to yourself?
Like, yeah, notorious for talking to myself.
Okay, so she's learned that. That's learned behaviour. I'm just going to talk about what I'm going on.
But she is worse.
But she's worse because she's doing it in your face. And also, let's be honest, kids' voices are quite shrill.
Yeah.
they're not great for relaxing, are they?
No.
I heard the other day, I saw my friend Jess post a story about... Apparently, the Dogs Trust have put out some, I don't know if it's research or what, but apparently if dogs get like quite, you know, when they get kind of zoomy in the evenings or like quite angsty, it's really calming if you read to them. And I was like, that's so lovely. Maybe we could start reading to Dobby. And I was like, that would be a really good, what a great kind of like, kill two birds with one stone.
Get Ramona to
read her school book to Dobby. And then I thought about it. I went, no, because actually her voice would probably make her want to zoom more, wouldn't it?
Zoom away.
Her shrill little six-year-old voice reading about a Oogle Boogle monster is not going to calm my Romanian street dog down.
I'm sorry, but the school books they send home are so boring.
So boring. So boring. So boring.
I mean, they could send her home with, like, the Da Vinci Code. That's probably on her reading level.
Yeah. I mean,
very simple to read.
Can we get, you know, we can start with, we're doing David Walliams at the minute. We read David Walliams books to her and she loves them. Can we have a bit, like, just a bit of something, a bit of pizzazz?
I have beef with David Walliams.
Well, I mean, everyone's got beef with David Walliams. He's a problematic man, but his books are great.
See, this is the reason why I've avoided getting a David Walliams book for Darcy, because I do feel like she would like it.
She'd love them.
But I hate him so much that I do not want his bad juju in my house.
It's okay, Sinead.
In book form.
I've already worked it out. We've bought all our David Walliams books secondhand. So none of the books we've got of his have cost us more than £1. That's how you do it. Sustainable shopping. That money ain't going to him. It's going in another mum's pocket. It's going to pay for her, you know, it's a bit of disposable income for a mum who's maybe selling at a car boot or giving it to charity to help clear their house out.
I got Darcy a set of Isadora Moon books for Christmas, and I would recommend them.
I hate them.
Really?
I hate them. Really boring. Get on David Walliams. I know you don't like him, but if you think Isadora Moon is interesting reads...
No, it's not interesting reads. Walliams is going to blow your fucking mind. Cute little vibes.
Cute. Yeah, the cute look. Yeah, cute. Just I find the stories quite boring.
Yeah, you know I mean...
But and then she turned into a cat again.
But David Walliams, my issue is like all his books are so mean-spirited.
Yeah, they're very Roald Dahl. Yeah.
But then I don't think Roald Dahl books are that mean-spirited. But then again, Roald Dahl was famously a Nazi. So
I read something about Roald Dahl the other day.
He's problematic enough.
He's very problematic. I read the other day that when he was in the war and he was blinded for quite a while. And in hospital, there was one nurse that took care of him. And he fell in love with her. And then when his eyesight came back, the second that he saw her, all of the love for her evaporated. And also named her full name in this sort of talking about his past.
That's so rude.
I think it's in his biography or something, autobiography. Yeah.
If anyone has imagine any that. Recommendations for good children's books for like a 7-year-old mm-hmm. with quite good reading comprehension.
Also quite good, I would say, Darcy and Ramona are both quite good with, not like super scary stuff, but they can take it.
Yeah.
Like Ramona's quite happy with the scary David Walliams books and they're fine. So that sort of level, but not a problematic famous person that's written them.
Yeah, like like good children's books that aren't boring.
Also, like before you start, absolutely no J.K. Rowling, thank you. I mean, I do want to read Harry Potter to her, but we do need to have a conversation about how problematic she is as a human.
Yeah.
With her in her stupid mould-riddled castle.
I mean, I've said this before and I will continue to say it, but if I had earned billions of pounds mm-hmm. writing a story about teenage wizards, I would simply shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I would just keep my mouth shut and enjoy my fucking life.
Yeah, instead of being mean to trans people online.
Also, if I'd written a multi-billion selling book that is about the importance of caring for people that are different and then start mouthing off about trans people, how fucking dare you? Oh. Don't even get me started. I need to do my week in a sentence.
Yes.
Okay, my week in a sentence is, you know you're a parent... when you're watching spy thriller Black Doves,
oh, I love that
and every
series.
16 seconds, you or your partner say to each other, but who's looking after the kids?
The nanny. Obviously.
I know they had a nanny.
And she's like gallivanting around London shooting people with a gun.
I just found it absolutely hilarious that like they do this in all of these sort of programs. They sort of portray these families where, and also like the kids really love their parents. Like they seem really close, and there's all the like kissing at night time and all the lovely, lovely moments. I'm like, you're not present parents.
No,
you're not present parents. One of you is about to become a prime minister, and the other of you is
running around London with a gun. Shooting people with a gun.
Shooting people with a gun. And then inviting your friend, who also shoots people with guns, round to your house so you can go and smoke on the balcony and then shoot some more people with guns. It just doesn't seem realistic.
She shot a man with a gun in their house.
In their house. And then... Say it.
Buried him in the back garden.
Yeah. Oh, no, before that.
Oh, didn't she put him in the shed?
She didn't shoot him. Come on, Sinead. She didn't shoot him in the house.
Stabbed him with a knife.
She stabbed him with a knife, took him into their outdoor playhouse and shot him in there. And then just left him there. Left him there. This is the thing that got me. Left the dead man in the...
Wendy house.
In the Wendy house in the garden for at least 24 hours and then expected one of her team to clean up for her. And I was like, what if the kids want to go and play outside?
No, Rosie, what you're forgetting is this.
What? No, that's my tummy.
That was my tummy.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was my tummy. Okay.
Is that you buy a really nice thing for your child.
Mm.
So they say, I really want a Wendy house. Create for them the perfect Wendy house in your garden, and then they never step foot in it again.
Ever again. It's funny you mentioned that, Sinead, because not long before we started recording, we were talking about moving house, And you mentioned my trampoline.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I think your trampoline would fit in that back garden. And my initial thought was, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because currently it operates as a sculptural piece in our garden. It's basically a sculpture because it's not used.
To be fair, it is midwinter. We are in the bleak midwinter.
We are in the bleak midwinter. Yeah, we are in the bleak midwinter.
Although not that bleak today.
It's a lovely day. Lovely sunny winter morn. It's great. Yeah. So I also... The reason I did that as my week in a sentence is because I wanted to talk about black doves.
So good. To be honest. So good.
Really it good.
I mean, the story is a bit far-fetched, yes. But I think you can suspend disbelief enough.
Is it realistic? No.
Is there a really, really fit Irish assassin in it?
With a fringe like mine.
With a non-binary fringe like Rosie's.
Tick.
Tick.
Big old tick.
And that's all I've been looking for in my spy thriller.
I loved her. Williams is her name.
Yeah.
She was great. My favourite bit is when, spoilers, when they're in the car and there's a guy in the back and he's like, oh, I'm a good guy. He's sort of basically saying, I don't mean to be bad. I'm a good guy. I was bought into this. I didn't want to do it. And then she just turns around and says, yeah, but you do deal heroin and you did murder someone. So... You know, but she's also waving a gun around when she says it.
Yeah.
Love her.
I love how she says everything in like a really slow and lazy way.
Slow, lazy Irish voice. Yeah. Gorge.
Obsessed with her.
Beautiful.
And Keira Knightley is just...
Flawless?
Yeah. Definition of a girl boss.
She's flawless. The bit when she fights the other girl.
Raising, ? Her kids in the daytime, shooting people with guns by night.
Yeah, I think I do find that bit quite hard to believe. I just think, like, you're too good of a mother. Because, yeah. It seems like her parenting is, like, on par with Bluey, which we know is not realistic.
No.
And I
it's
just...
when she is talking to her kid via baby monitor.
Yeah.
Like, as she knows assassins are coming up some stairs to come and kill her.
Yeah, and she's just like, please be quiet.
Go back to sleep.
Or I might die.
But I'm like, why have you accepted the call from your child's baby monitor when you know that there are assassins coming up the stairs?
Because she's such a good mum.
Just put your phone on silent.
She's such a good mother.
The exact same argument that I have for Laura Linney in Love Actually. If my mentally disabled brother was calling me mid-hookup with the sexy IT man,
yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That call can wait, babes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you know what? For once in my life, I'm going to do something for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That storyline is also unrealistic, isn't it? There's no one that's doing that.
No.
They're all having sex with a sexy man.
Absolutely.
Of course they are. That's a good time to discuss what we're going to talk about today. We're not going to talk about sexy men.
I mean, we probably will.
We might do.
A little bit.
Maybe. We're going to have a bit of a recap, right?
Yeah.
About who we are. What we're doing here, why we currently have fluffy things attached to spatulas.
Yeah.
And why we like talking into them.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Where should we start?
Rosie.
Yes.
Who are you? Who is Rosie Johnson?
Who is the real me? Da,
da, da, da. I'm actually a spy and I shoot people with guns.
Yeah, but if I did, you wouldn't know. You would, because I'm a shit liar.
Yeah, I would know.
Can you imagine if I was actually like a Keira Knightley character and you had no idea and you're like, oh, my mate Rosie, oh, you know, the weird one that does weird art and like posts videos of herself putting weird clothes on. Yeah, she's a bit odd, that one. And little did you know, it was all a ruse because I was out there shooting baddies. Yeah, no, I'm not. I have absolutely zero chill currently. I have no patience. I'm very weak-spirited, I think, sometimes.
I don't think you're weak-spirited.
Or just like, I'm a little bit of a sap sometimes because I'm just like, woe is me quite a lot. But no, I am Rosie. I am 36 years of age. I currently live with my partner, Dave, who is a diamond. And my two children, Ramona is 6, nearly 7, and Lola is 3, nearly 4. And I, actually, this would be a good time to to talk about my current role in society. So I'm an artist by trade. So I have my own business. I'm an illustrator. I do all sorts of different arty stuff. Basically, if it's sort of involving drawing and doodling and painting, I do it. And I do a lot of it. And I love it. It's my favourite job in the world. And I'm so privileged to be able to do that and call myself that. And I'm very happy about that. However, very recently, my beautiful partner Dave got a promotion at work, which is great. Well done him. I'm so pleased for him. It means more financial stability. Like, it's wholly, like, a really great thing that's happened to us. Congratulations, Dave. I'm so proud of him. I'm so pleased for us. Like, it really is a massive weight off our shoulders. But I have since started referring to myself as a trad wife because now I guess I don't have an excuse to be an artist, if that makes sense. Like, it feels like I have a lot less time to do the stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I have to be the one that is able to do the school pickups and drop-offs and cooking. I suppose, no, we still, like, share the cooking. But it's just, like, his role has very obviously become a role where he gets paid more money. Like, yeah. He is in meetings a lot. He is relied on quite a lot. It's, like, it's definitely a lot more work.
Dave has girl bossed too close to the sun.
Oh.
And has become important at work, which is everyone's biggest fear.
Yeah, exactly. He is, like, Icarusing this up. Is that right? Icarus?
Yeah.
Is it Icarus?
Yeah, it's Icarus.
He's Icarusing it up at work. That's now a term. And it just means that I have to be more on call with the children, which is fine and I'm not complaining about. But it does, like, I do feel a bit more trad wife.
I feel like maybe you should invest in, like, a prairie dress and some sort of frilly apron.
Invest in a prairie dress? I just need to get them out the wardrobe, Sinead. Yeah, I think it's just something I'm going to have to work through and reckon with, I think.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that my business is not valid. It just means that it definitely has to come second.
Yeah.
And I suppose it always has, sort of, but now more so than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, because I still get to do what I want and I do get to do what I love. I just can't prioritise it.
Yeah.
Over, like, his work and the children.
Yeah.
Which means that I'll be more mental. And I will probably need to start going to therapy. But that's fine, because Dave is earning more money. So it's okay. But yeah, I'm just going to have to watch myself. Because if I don't do paintings and shit, then I lose my mind.
But also at the same time, it's like, it's not that you won't be able to do that anymore.
No, it's not the end of it. It's not like just the end. It's just I have to watch. I just have to be a bit more.
Resettling into, like, a new routine.
Yes.
So you need to figure out when...
Yeah.
You can set aside your time to do that. Because,
exactly.
Like, Ramona's at school. It's Lola doesn't start school in September, does she?
She does start school in September. I know.
Like, come September, you'll have both kids in school Monday to Friday.
And then that will get easier.
Yeah. So, like, you've only got a relatively short stint of time where it'll be a bit more difficult to organise that. Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm okay with it, because I know that it's, like, short term. And also, it's not a massive change, really. I'm calling myself a trad wife. They're very, very minimal differences, really, to my life. And most of them are positive. It's just, like, I just think it's funny. Like, I think I'm saying it because the amount of times that Dave's, like, offers to go and pick the kids up from school. And I'm just like, sure, if you're okay doing that. And he's like, yeah, no, I'll go now. And then suddenly it's like, oh, I have to go and pick the kids up. What? Sorry, what? And so I'm just sort of almost like really glamorizing this idea that I'm a trad wife. I'm not a trad wife. I'm still making lino prints and I'm still putting shit on t-shirts. I'm just picking the kids up a few more times a week is all that's really happening.
And no one could ever accuse you of being dramatic.
No, not dramatic at all. Who are you, Sinead?
I am Sinead.
Hello.
I'm now 31. Which is crazy because I was only 29 when we started this podcast.
Yeah, I think there's at least one podcast where you spent a lot of time catastrophizing about turning 30. And now...
I turned 30 and nothing changed.
Nothing changed. Everything's the same. Right?
Yeah. I was kind of putting a lot of pressure on my 30th year. I was like, this is the year, like, either it was going to be like, I'm going to change every single thing about myself and my life before I turn 30. And then I turned 30 and I was like, 30 is going to be my year. Spoiler alert, 30 was not my year.
But it wasn't not your year.
Yeah, but nothing changed in my life.
You got a new job, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I did get a new job. Sorry, forgot about that.
You got a new, much better, way more rewarding job.
Yeah, yeah, I did, actually.
Yeah.
Forgot all about that.
Also, by the way, like, you were kind of worried about interviewing for... thinking like, oh, this is something I'd really like to do, but also I'm probably not good enough. And then you absolutely smashed the interview and they were like, yes, please.
That is true.
So you should be more proud of yourself about that.
I should.
Shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also you've been doing that job for quite a while now and you're really good at it.
Yeah.
Right?
I am good at my job.
Yes, you are. Are you allowed to say what your job is?
Yeah. I work for the council doing digital marketing.
And you're good at it.
And I'm good at it.
You know the shit. You understand it. And you definitely do, because you've told me about like certain situations where like other people perhaps don't understand the situation. And you're like, no, it has to be done like this, because then people will get it. You get it.
It simply must be done like
you
this.
You get it.
Yeah.
Don't you? You understand it. So well done you. And you also have a child.
Yes, I have a child. Her name is Darcy and she is now just turned 7.
Oh my God.
Which I don't understand how she's managed to turn 7 on my watch.
I just can't even.
And she is, she's a delightful character.
She's delightful.
She is delightful. Most of the time.
She's delightful, but also, I mean, I'm not saying that my children aren't, but you know, we've already spoke about this. She... is vocal,
yeah,
most of the time,
extremely so.
Apart from when she's asleep. I'd say she's vocal all of the time unless she's asleep.
Yeah, unless she's asleep or in the car.
In the car,
she's usually asleep.
Yeah. And how's that going for you? How's parenting Darcy at the minute?
I think that at the minute we're in quite a good space. Like, this is a nice age. Like, she's old enough to be having really interesting and complex conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
It's also demanding. Really hard work.
Yes, very demanding.
She wants the answer to everything, and I just don't have the answers to every single question in the world. But I really value being able to have these really interesting and complex conversations with her.
Mm. Yeah.
And I find it a lot more rewarding than maybe it has been in the past.
Yeah, because you can actually... What's good now about their age is you're not just giving them information, you're also giving your opinion on that information. Because
mm-hmm.
they want to know about like stuff like, so, I mean, they're not that interested in politics, but that sort of thing, stuff that's happened in the world, and you're able to tell them the facts, but also why you feel a certain way about it, which is nice to be able to do that, and for them to be also like, you know, interested in that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. I don't get that with Lola. She just throws shit around.
I am still a single parent.
Yes.
We still live with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think I used to have a lot of, like, not shame, but, like, I used to maybe be a bit embarrassed that we still live with my parents. But the longer that we stay here, the more I feel like, why would I ever leave?
Yeah, definitely.
I don't want to live by myself ever.
And I also don't feel like, you know, people that I've told about you and like your family setup, I've never had a reaction where it's like, oh, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Isn't it? No one's, You're not telling anyone, oh, I live with my child at home with my parents. No one's going, what, why? No one's saying that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, have they? Has anyone said that? And if they are, they're pricks. But, like, no one's saying that. No one's thinking that. No one's thinking, oh, that's a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's not at all.
I think for a long time, I just felt like I was behind where I should be. And, like, now I don't necessarily... Like, I think that we are really lucky to have the setup that we have. Like, yeah. I've got a lot more support than a lot of people that have, like, that live with their husband.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it makes sense. It's also, it's something that has become outdated because of essentially capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that was very normal not that long ago for most of time.
Yeah.
It's only quite recently that that's become, and in fact, in other cultures, it is still very normal.
Yeah.
And it's only now, it's like we've, again, it's that whole idea of like...
It's like hyper-individualism, isn't it? Like,
and
the promotion of the nuclear family.
Yeah.
Like me and Darcy will have never been and will never be a nuclear family, like by the standards of our society.
But actually, I think what's happening is that like this sort of setup is something that's going to come back again because capitalism has gone so far that people can't afford, like you were saying, oh, I feel like felt like you were behind. Everyone's behind now. Most people can't afford houses. Most people can't, like, are barely scraping by to pay rent. So it's like, that's going to become normal. I think coexisting with more people is just going to become more normal because we can't fucking afford anything.
But like, and not only that, it's like, I don't think that we're meant to live the way that most people live now.
No, of course not. I think it has been sort of made that way on purpose.
Like, I really do strongly believe that we should be valuing community more than we do.
Yeah.
And a big way to do that is to live with more people because it really does lighten the load on all of us.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of why I want to move house so that I can be nearer people that are kind of in the same position as me and we can all help look after each other. I think people crave that as well. Like, we've really been, the nuclear family has really sort of boxed us all in, hasn't it? And now we're all like, no, thank you. That does not work for me. Especially when you're fucking us over with everything else.
Yeah, especially when to breathe air costs £1 million.
Yeah, you're like, the least you can do is let me hang out with other people.
Yeah.
Actually, the least you can do. Well done. I'm glad that you're at a point in your life where you can not feel shame about it, because it's not a thing that you should feel ashamed about.
No.
At all. It's lovely, actually. I love coming here and having my coffee in my witch's brew cup. It's very wonderful. Okay, what else were we going to talk about? I can't remember. I do have a hangover today, which is unusual because I don't drink much, don't go out very often. But I did go out last night and I did drink quite a lot of white wine. So my head is a little fuzzy today. But usually I think that makes quite good content for us.
Yeah, apart from that one time that I got so hungover that I nearly threw up.
Yeah, that was when we used to record in a tiny little recording cave at a recording studio, and you had to periodically leave the room to go and be sick. And because we were too scared to stop recording because we didn't know the technology very well, there were just like, when you were editing it, there's like 30 minute gaps where I was just sat in silence waiting for you to come back after throwing up.
It was the day after Eurovision and I really was not feeling well.
You were not feeling well. You really went to town with that Eurovision, didn't you?
I could barely formulate a sentence.
It was funny that I still think that those recordings were good because you were hilarious. You were making absolutely no sense. It was great. I loved it. We should do more hungover recordings.
We should do a drunk recording.
We should definitely do a drunk recording, shouldn't we?
We should.
We should definitely do that. Let's make that happen. Okay, so that's one of our goals. Now that we've relaunched the podcast, we can definitely agree we're going to do a drunk podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What else are we going to do? What are our plans?
So I think the main plan is to actually continue to record consistently.
I think so.
And put out
podcasts. We'll try our best.
Consistently.
I suspect the answer to this, Sinead, and I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm glad people are listening. That we consistently record, but sort of put them out less often.
Yeah.
So, because we were trying to do it once a week.
Once a week is a lot.
It's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. So we're going to consistently record again because we like yapping and we think it's important for us as women to talk about mothering and looking after children and everything in between. But I think we're going to try and definitely get some more people involved, aren't we?
Yes, we definitely want to start doing guests. Mm. And maybe do some video content. Yeah.
Maybe we'll do some content, Sinead.
Maybe we'll do a content.
Maybe I think if we do a little content every so often,
might listen to this podcast.
More people might listen if we do some contents. What do you think?
I agree. Shall we talk a little bit about why we decided to do this podcast in the first place?
Yes, let's do that.
As a reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. Please remind me. Why are we doing it? Why are we here?
I think we started doing this podcast because we were looking for something that didn't exist when we had our children.
Yes.
We wanted that kind of support and just that feeling of making people feel heard and seen.
Yes.
And not kind of trying to portray parenthood to be this kind of fluffy, perfect thing. Like, it is messy.
Yeah.
It's complicated. It's hard. But it's also really joyful.
Yeah, and funny.
And funny. And we wanted people to feel like they were part of a community.
Heard.
And people understood them.
Yeah. And actually, going back to the whole Black Doves thing, the problem that we found with a lot of parenting podcasts is that they were done by famous people who are very privileged and have lots of money. Mm-hmm. And so even though those sort of podcasts do talk about the messiness of it, there's a certain level of privilege there where it's like they can all afford nannies. They've all got massive houses and a massive support network and a shit ton of money. And so for them to sort of talk about the messiness of parenting, it's fine. It's valid. It's just not something that we can really ever
relate to.
So we did it because we are just normal parents that live in normal houses with normal people. And we want other people to be like, look, it's fine. We're fine. You don't need to buy an £800 pram.
Yeah, basically, no, you don't. That. You don't need to spend £6 billion a year on clothes from independent Scandinavian designers.
No. And you certainly don't need to go out shooting people at night.
No.
Putting them in your Wendy house. You don't
definitely
need to.
Definitely not
you
shooting people with guns.
You can just go to bed at a normal time and watch stuff on Netflix like we do. That's what you can do. And then complain about your kids all of the rest of the time.
And what else do we want to do? I think we want to do more live stuff, some more kind of in-person community building.
Yeah, I think so. Some more kind of exhibiting of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just stuff.
We do have an exhibition kind of in the works.
Yeah, we're definitely planning something.
There are things in the works for this podcast.
Yeah, there are things in the works. And this recording today was just a way of us getting back into things and being like, we are here and we're going to carry on.
It does feel kind of weird to be talking into a mic again after so long. Do you remember the first time we ever recorded and we spoke so much that we sat in silence the entire car journey back to my house?
We were so frazzled, weren't we? Just from speaking for an hour. But also, like, if you listen to the first one, we do sound quite nervous.
Yeah.
We were very nervous and you could tell we were like, whereas now it's been what, like 6 months since we recorded and we're immediately like, hey.
Right, so planes crashing.
What's going on in the world? It doesn't feel like weird at all. It feels quite nice, actually.
Yes.
I think, is that all we need to speak about right now?
I think so. I think that's a nice little ease in.
Let's do our second format point. Because we do have format points because we're professional podcast recorders, aren't we?
We are.
Yes.
We are.
So our second format point is our loves and lows of the week.
Would you like to go first?
Yeah, go on then. I'll do my love of the week.
What have you got?
Oh, is she talking to the dog?
Yeah.
What's the dog doing?
What's he got, Mum?
Oh, no.
I can't even shut the door to block out the noise. Snoop, all right.
Snoop's spirit lives on in the new puppy. So my love of the week, I need to get it out so I make sure I get it right, is a book which I think every person should read in the whole world. My auntie gave it to me. It's called Women in the Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sort of tagline is Women, Art and the Power of Looking. So this book is by an art historian called Catherine McCormack, and she speaks about the history of art, which obviously predominantly was done by men, and how problematic it is in the modern world for the way that the patriarchy works and how women are perceived. And unfortunately for you, Sinead, I would say that she mainly discusses the problems with pieces of work that you would say are your favourite pieces of art.
Well, I hate to break it to her, but she is wrong.
She is incorrect.
Actually, she's wrong.
She's wrong. Yeah, it is quite funny because a lot of the stuff she discusses, the whole time I was reading it, I was going, this book is so good. I think Sinead should read it. And then I'd be like, oh, I know that she loves these kind of fucking paintings, man. Like, she loves those paintings of, like,
Pre-Raphaelite women.
Yeah. And then she's talking about, like, the making of it and who painted it and why it's problematic and why it's problematic to look at and why it's problematic to be in a gallery. And I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm sorry, Catherine McCormack. You don't get to tell me what is problematic to look at.
She does. She does. Mm-mm. She does. Anyway.
Isn't that the whole point of art? You can look at what you want.
Well, I think you should read the book, man. It's good. Like, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. But also I agree with everything she says in the book and the sort of problems that it has around the way that women are portrayed in art and why the sort of...
I'm sorry, but if people are still allowed to listen to Kanye West, I'm allowed to look at sculptures of Greek gods abducting women.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't mention Kanye, but, you know, you are correct. But, you know... I love the book. The book's great. Everyone should read it. But also, like, if you do see Sinead in the street, you just pretend that you didn't like it very much and just be like, do you know what? I love pre-Raphaelite paintings. I think they're great. I think they're really bob on. Just say something like that and, like hide the book behind your back as you're walking past and just be like, oh, just bloody love those sculptures of abduction of women. Love them. Big fan. Big fan. Oh, yeah. Love the lovely perky boobies on all of those sculptures. Really love them. Great, great, great stuff. Swiftly moving on, what's your love of the week?
My love of the week is what we're currently sitting on, which is...
A bed.
We're sitting on my bed. So you guys are currently in bed with the MILFs.
And I'll be honest with you, it's not as sexy as you'd think.
It's really not. I got new bedding for my birthday and also for Christmas, and it's Eleanor Boehmer bedding, and it is so beautiful.
It is so, so stunning.
So the set that I have on now is like a sky blue with cowboy boots all over it, and
loads
then like
of different
a
cowboy boots.
Mustard gingham
underneath
reverse.
Yes.
When I first got this, I put it on my bed and my dad said, why has it got wellies all over it?
Oh, dearie me. Dearie me. He just doesn't get it. Okay?
And the other set I have has beautiful goddess faces all over
it. Yeah, Eleanor Bowman's stuff is the best.
It's beautiful.
I love all of her work. It's great.
And also the bedding is so nice to sleep on.
It feels very soft.
Bit on the spenny side, but very worth it. Washes well.
You're treating yourself to an Ella Bowman cover.
You spend quite a lot of your time in bed, so I do think that it's important to invest in your sleep space.
Absolutely fine. The cushions are great too. Really, but love it. Love all the colour clashing and the pattern clashing, but in a really kind of coherent way.
Very me vibes.
Yeah, great. Love it. Oh, that's one of the things we are going to do in the future. We are going to do like an interior design masters of your bedroom.
Yeah, we are, because we are currently sat in the midst of my partially redecorated bedroom.
And because you've specifically asked me to help curate your bedroom, mm-hmm. that does mean that you're Alan Carr in this in this partnership. Are you okay with that?
I think I was always Alan Carr.
You're always Alan Carr, weren't you? Ramona loves Alan Carr because she really likes that in Nativity he's always eating a sandwich. I love Alan Carr too. He's great. He's also my love of the week. What a wonderful man. My loathe of the week this week is... Now, if you are an avid listener of the Amateur Milf Society, then you will know that I have had issues with Lola in general, but also Lola and shoes.
Yeah.
We've had this before. We've been through this. We were talking earlier about how difficult it is doing a school run and getting your kids ready for school. But with Lola at the minute, it's not just school. It's every single... any time we have to leave the house or go anywhere, at any point, at any given point, she is refusing to put on the shoes that you provide to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like she knows that she's stalling for time. And then she'll fight, like, and she will describe shoes to us that we have not had in the house for over a year and be like, I'm not going out unless I'm wearing those ones. Or like, I'm only going out in my skeleton boots that are too small for you, Lola. You can't walk in them. Or I want to wear my princess shoes. Well, I'm not going then. And it's just like, get over the shoes. Get over yourself. I'm sorry, Sinead, right? But I have provided my three-year-old child with a plethora of very cool footwear. She's got at least four pairs of Vans, right? She's got a purple pair of high-top Vans that are Maggie Simpson themed. She's got a pair of Velcro Vans, which are SpongeBob themed. One of them is yellow and one of them is pink. She's got a pair of standard black Vans, tie-up ones. She's got a pair of like silver Velcro shoes. I mean, like, she's got tons of shoes. She's got those black patent kickers that Darcy used to wear.
Oh, I love that.
Right? So what I'm describing to you is like a capsule collection of footwear that like an adult myself would be proud to have. And yet it's not good enough for her. Every single time I'm like, we've got to go and pick Ramona up. We've got 5 minutes. And that's the moment she decides to kick off about the shoes. And I am sick of it. And that
just
is
done.
And that is why it is my loathe of the week. What's yours?
My loathe of the week is jeans shopping.
Oh, no. Don't go jeans shopping. Don't go jeans shopping.
My one and only pair of jeans ripped.
Oh, no.
In the crotch.
Oh, no.
The other day.
Oh, no.
So they finally gave up the ghost.
Oh.
And I do feel like you always do need a pair of jeans in your wardrobe.
I know.
Especially at this time of year.
Yeah, I suppose.
So
yeah.
I was like, right, okay. And I know that every time I hate it because my body is like a deeply fucked up shape.
No, Sinead, this is the problem. This is the problem we have here. You've been conditioned to think that you have the wrong body shape, right? Everyone knows that no jeans fit any woman properly. They're made that way. Doesn't matter. And also, like, if jeans do fit you okay, you still feel like shit because whatever shop you go in, you're a different size.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what shape or size you are. You will always come from jean shopping feeling worse than you were before.
Yeah.
And that is not your fault for being a certain shape or size. That is the patriarchy's fault for making us fucking feel like that. And also spend time worrying about it when we could be worrying about, I don't know, the world burning. Sorry. Continue.
So, I went into it and I was like, it's a horrible job, but it must be done.
Yes.
So
Someone's got to do it.
I was like, doing positive affirmations in my head the entire way to Foss Park. I was saying, it is not my job to fit the jeans. It is the jeans' job to fit me.
I'm so glad you did that.
It is, you know.
Well done. I'm proud of you. But it didn't work, did it?
No, it didn't work because I cried in the M&S changing rooms.
I mean, who hasn't cried in the M&S changing rooms?
Because, right, my problem is manifold.
Yes.
But I have an extremely long inside leg.
Mm-hmm.
I also have massive bum, big hips, and a smaller waist.
Yes.
So to get a jean over my hips, they will be enormously too big on the waist.
Yeah.
And if I wanted a jean to fit on my waist, they wouldn't fit in the hip, bum, or thigh region.
Yeah.
And also, they're all like capri pants.
Yeah.
And why is it that every single shop has every single make of jean in a short leg length and a regular leg length, but they have like maybe three pairs of long in the whole shop.
Yeah, because they're trying to make us sad about ourselves.
Every single time I go into a clothes shop, I feel like I should have been in like a 1930s travelling freak show.
That's how they want you to feel, Sinead. They want you to feel like that. They want you to feel like you're the only person in the world that doesn't fit in their jeans, and therefore there's something wrong with you because you don't fit in their jeans. It's all bollocks. All of it.
Next is a particularly heinous offender.
I hate Next. No, I don't hate Next. I don't like Next women's wear. I don't like Next women's wear. I don't think the fit is right.
No, the fit isn't right.
Insane.
Because the size that was fitting me consistently across the board in Marks and Spencer's, I tried that size on in Next.
Yeah.
And I would have needed at least four sizes bigger.
I don't think Next have really understood how women want to wear jeans.
I don't think they've ever seen a person.
I don't think they've ever seen a pair of jeans.
You know what it reminds me of? You know, like medieval paintings where like some monk has tried to paint a lion, but they've never seen a lion. So they're just working off like a vague description of what a lion might look like.
That's what they've done.
I'm imagining the people that design jeans at Next have done that.
Yeah.
They are
Someone's
working.
Someone's described a human to them.
They are working on a concept of a human being.
Yeah. And they've gone, maybe if we just put the... And they're doing basically pin the tail on the donkey, aren't they? Let's just put the button there. And then we'll maybe make it this long. Make it this long. How long? I'll do it with my hands. I'm going to girl math it. That's what Next are doing. Next are girl mathing their jean sizes, aren't they?
We don't need to girl math jeans. Girl math is for your savings account. Yeah. Jeans should be made by scientists.
I want Dr. Levi... to come and make my jeans for me using geometry, please.
Professor Levi
needs to stroll into Next in his cowboy boots.
Honestly,
look here, partners. We here gonna make some jeans. Get me some denim. I'm sorry about that accent. I don't know what that was. Because Professor Levi is famously Italian, it would seem.
So I was ready to do a bit of arson. To Next in Foss Park. If I had a lighter on my person, I would have set fire to the whole shop. But luckily enough for them, I didn't. So
you just cried instead.
I just cried instead.
Can I ask, and it's very mean of me to ask, but did you cry whilst like hitting the side of the changing room with your back and then sliding down the wall? Is that how you cried?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, I mean, at least that's something. It had to be like a dramatic cry.
And then also we need to discuss the fact that any changing room in any shop has the most unforgivably heinous lighting I've ever seen in my life.
Why are they doing that? It feels to me counterproductive to do that because we look shit
in everything.
You want
people to buy your clothes, right?
Yeah.
And then whatever interior design dunce has decided to make their changing rooms, they're like, oh right, they're sitting in a board meeting, they're like right, what should we do? How about we make people look the worst they've ever looked the second they step into our changing room? How about that? That's a really good idea.
I thought maybe like atmospheric lighting. No, we're gonna do fluorescent lighting that points directly
down, overhead.
Directly overhead, so there's lots of shadows on everyone's faces.
Huge mirror so they can see exactly how ugly they are.
Huge mirror. Very small space, almost like to the point where it could be classed as torture. A curtain that doesn't quite fit the space, so you're always worried that someone else might see you.
Oh, also, just to top off this story, the changing room that I cried in, in Marks and Spencer's, the door didn't shut properly.
Great, so everyone could hear you whimpering.
Yeah, if anyone had decided to lightly push the door,
they would have walked in on you crying, surrounded by jeans.
There was about 15 pairs of jeans. There's barely enough room for my body inside the changing cubicle, let alone my body and 15 pairs of jeans.
Tell you what, whilst you're in there with your 15 pairs of jeans, they've decided in the board meeting, do you know what we should do in the tiny space that's almost classed as like a...
Put a stool.
Pop a stool in it. And also, just to top things off, we'll put a hook in there that'll only fit two hangers on it. But we'll allow at least 10 items into the changing room.
Two hanging spaces for 15 pairs of jeans. Girl math. I hate it. I hate going into shops and I hate having a body.
I would just like to be a spirit that doesn't have to shop, please. Yeah. Can I just be Casper for a day, please?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think that we should do a whole episode about changing rooms.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to say. And like,
I think we should do interior design masters, but like redesign every single changing room in the land.
In the land, because they're all terrible. Can I just tell you one little snippet very quickly, just to make you feel slightly better? In Australia, not only do they have the same changing rooms, but it goes one step further because they encourage all the staff members to come and check in on you and bring things to you that you've not asked for. And it was normal, like that happened in all shops. So they'd come over and they'd be like, how are you getting on with those jeans? Hey, how's it going? And then they'd like ask you how you're getting on and like ask to come in so they could see. And one time I was in a shop, and it happened a few times actually, but I remember this one time I was trying on some jeans.
Sorry, I don't want to be perceived, and please definitely not by a shop assistant.
And it was a guy, and he just came in. He like knocked on the door and he's like, how are you getting on? And I opened the door and I was like, yeah, fine. And he was like, I just thought I'd bring these tops for you to try on with your jeans. Just thought they might go. And I was like, can you go fuck yourself any quicker?
Like, go away.
I'm sorry, you want to create outfits for me. How dare you? So, yeah. So at least you're in Pissland trying
sorry,
your jeans
Gok
on.
Sorry, Gokwan.
Sorry, Aussie Gokwan.
Leave me be.
I'm trying to cry over jeans.
Leave me in peace.
Leave me in peace to cry in the fluorescent torture chamber. I think that's a good place to end, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for listening, I guess. If you got this far, you deserve a medal.
If you got this far, you deserve a medal. But can you also tell us your qualms with changing rooms? Because I feel like this is more to... We've got more to discuss here.
If you've got any recommendations also for jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Jeans that will fit... That
someone
are,
who doesn't want to have a body.
Yeah, someone that doesn't want to have a body. I am looking specifically for high-waisted...
Yes.
Straight-legged,
long-legged, yeah.
Blue jeans
that don't make you cry.
That don't make me want to cry.
Yeah. Anybody?
Any suggestions?
Any suggestions?
Are welcome.
I've suggested Lucy and Yak. If anyone else can kind of sort of back me up, maybe.
Yeah.
If anyone thinks the same, then maybe you'd know you could invest in a Lucy and Yak and think, okay, we've had recommendations from more than one person.
Mm.
That would be good.
But yeah, you can always talk to us on our social media, which is at Amateur Milf Society on Instagram. That's where we're most active.
Yeah.
And we will be putting out some hashtag content soon. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.